But I'm going to tell you, women like this, women like her, I guarantee you, she has not had these rules for Chad. She has not had these rules for the men who are all dark and handsome, who she met at the bar, met at the club, met on a dating app. I can guarantee you, these were nowhere to be found. I can guarantee you, she was willing to bust through all those rules for those men. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Sheep Get Sheared podcast. I'm your host, Austin Creed, and my friends, today we're going to revisit a topic about Christian women manipulating Christian men. And the reason I highlight the women is not to pick on them, but it's to highlight the discrepancy in power, because I know anecdotally and statistically that Christian men tend to be more naive and more trusting than are their female counterparts. And so when we look at the Christian church today, and this goes across the denominations, across the great schism of Catholic, Protestant, I'm going across all lines here. When I say that a lot of Christian men, they find this the hard way. A lot of them, they want to be good men. They want to be nice guys. And the problem is, nice guys finish last if they even finish at all. And the problem is, a lot of women are double dipping. They are saying, we want these nice Christian guys over here, but simultaneously, I'm too young to be married. I'm going to go out here and enjoy and have fun, whether it's at college, or whether it's their first couple years on the job, or even in high school. Let's not pretend like people before the age of 18 aren't doing anything but just sitting around and studying, okay? As someone who's been under 18 at one time, and as has everyone else, we all know, people get busy pretty much as soon as they have the capacity to do so. And a lot of these 304s out here are double dipping. And just because they say they're Christians and they pray and they go to Bible study and they read the Bible, that does not mean that all of a sudden they're immune to all this culture jargon. They're immune to social media movements. They're immune to hypergamy. They're not immune to all these things. Now, they can choose to not do it. However, we don't see that happen in the overwhelming majority of cases. So, when we talk about the manipulation, a lot of it comes down to what they don't tell Christian men. And also, what Christian men who may know choose not to tell Christian men. It's the same thing as when mothers make their sons into what they wish that they or other women were attracted to, when in doubt, when in fact they're not attracted to that at all. It's the same thing with Christian men saying, this is what Christian women should want, so therefore, this is what you should become. When in reality, she's still not hung up on Pookie or Chad or Tyrone, these guys who were, maybe they looked good, maybe they were strong, they were dangerous, they were edgy and all these things, and they are not over those guys, but they then want all those same characteristics, the what we might call a 4.6s, you have a 6-pack, 6 inches downstairs, 6-figure income, and be over 6 feet tall, all that kind of stuff, right? But then simultaneously, they want you to also be a Christian guy who is leading them, even though they don't want to follow anybody, then that is shown throughout their entire life when they haven't listened to anybody but their feelings, because that's really, in all honesty, what women are loyal to. But I'm getting ahead of myself here. Let's hop into the clips we have for today, and I make it a point to not watch these all the way through, because I really want to have a raw reaction to you, and I don't want it to sound like all this is coordinated. I don't have a script. In case you guys don't know it, I don't have a script. I don't need a script to do this. I'm passionate about this. I go to church. I do these things. I understand. I know these people. I've been in multiple different churches. I go to a Christian college, and I'm going to be graduating from very soon. I've done my homework. I grew up on this type of behavior, so I know it all too well. I don't need to do a script. So let's go on to the first show. So, advice for Christian singles from the New York subway. Oh, this should be great. All right, let's see what we got in store. Look, we'll watch this.
All right, TikTok people, come to me live from three and lovely single ladies. And we're here to drop in and tell you the best green peaches and bananas. As Christian fingers,
my advice would be don't have your fixate on the thing that you don't have because it'll rob you of what you do have in the moment. So be happy with what you got and then y'all do the rest.
Love that. I'm definitely, my advice would be stop wasting away your current season waiting for the next, because so often we're so consumed with getting the next one that we miss out what God is doing in this amazing season world. My girl Kel.
What kind of advice was that? Hold on a second. What? Okay. Gentlemen, do you want to know why I say that Christian women manipulate Christian men? Because they're never going to actually tell you what they're attracted to. This is the equivalent, and I'm not the first person to say this, so I don't claim to take credit for this statement. But that's the equivalent of you being a fisherman and you're trying to catch fish. And so instead of asking a fisherman who actually catches fish, you're going to go ask the fish how to be caught. You really think it's going to work?
Oh, hell no.
No, it's not. Well, let's revisit those points real quick. Let's see.
All right, TikTok people, coming to you live from three and lovely single ladies. We're here to drop in and tell you the best three pieces and babas.
I'm going to pause it right here. Hold on a second. How old do you think these people are? And I know that people are like, oh, Austin, it's so impolite to ask about a woman's age. Oh, I'll ask because it's relevant to the conversation. I find it very disconcerting and very disgusting that it's often the older women who find God at like 30 or 35 who then want you as a man who's been grinding, you've been faithful, you've been doing all these things, you should then marry them when they're on the decline and you're now entering your prime as a man. Because if you're a younger guy like me and you don't know this concept that I had to learn the hard way, we as men are not taught that our best years are when we are like in our late 30s to 40s and 50s and beyond. That's when our greater earning potential is. If we take care of our bodies in our younger years, we hold on to the maintenance, we go to the doctor, we go to the gym, we do all these things, we're going to be in great shape. We're going to do great. But for women, it's the opposite. As soon as they hit puberty, they're pretty much in their golden era. They have a lot of value, and they pretty much have, almost, depending on how attractive they are and how they play what they've been given, they have infinitely more options than you as a man will ever have. Now, I find it distasteful when women start to come out of this prime, that then all of a sudden they want to act like they're doing you the favor as a man and they want to marry you. And a lot of times women will use religion to try to subvert the logical side of the man that says, hold on, this person's a bad investment. This person is not a good investment for me and the future that I want to build for myself. But they'll circumnavigate that logic by trying to throw God in the mix, trying to throw religion in the mix, trying to use emotions and try to make you change all that so then they can benefit off of your hard work. That's the facts of it. I don't know. I don't care whether you like what I just said. That's the very raw, uncut, unsugar-coated truth of how a lot of men's lives go. And men who have been married, who get married a little bit older and in their 30s or whatever, they know this. Any man who's married an older woman or done anything like that, they'll tell you. Men who've been in a relationship for 40 years, they'll tell you that the women who are younger are not the same as when they're older. But let's go back to this video and look at the advice they give us.
As Christian fingers, my advice would be don't have your fixate on the thing that you don't have because it'll rob you of what you do have.
What kind of advice is that? Don't hyperfixate on the things you don't have. Instead, focus on the things you do have. Most men don't have much. Especially when they're young. Most men have next to nothing and they have to build everything. Because a lot of men want to be married and they would want... A lot of men would marry a woman like this. Problem is, most men are invisible to these women. And the problem is, in the church especially, people want to pretend like the normal dating rules do not apply inside the walls of the church or inside the fold of the flock. It's not true. The rules still exist. They just look a little bit different. Instead of using terms you might hear in popular culture, they'll use Christianese language instead that you then have to decode and decipher. And to me, extremely disingenuous and extremely manipulative. Because they're using it to get what they want. They're not using it because it benefits you. They're doing it because it benefits them. That's why it's manipulation. In other words, I don't need to take accountability for anything and just trust God and whatever. Again, trusting God is great, but you also need to trust yourself and go with what you want to do and have ambition in this life, okay?
Love that. I'm totally. My advice would be like, stop wishing away your current and then waiting for the next.
What does that even mean? Don't wish away your current season.
What?
In other words, stop and smell the roses? This is horrible advice for men. Horrible advice for men. And horrible advice for women, frankly. You should always be striving for the next thing. Because life is a series of phases. If you're trying to stay in the current phase, you're going to be late to catch the next train. No pun intended. I've had enough of this video. Let's go to the next one. Because I don't think the next girl even gives us any advice. All right. Oh, gentlemen, for those of you who want to bring up the physical intimacy part of the conversation, well, this video is for you. Because this woman's going to talk about physical intimacy in a Christian relationship. Now, the reason I use a lot of women in videos is because I want to show you what they're saying versus what they actually mean. And there's a book called The Manipulated Man by Esther Vilar, which was written back in the 1970s, and she was the one who really brought forth this idea, or at least the one that I first heard it from, which is women have their own language. They'll use certain words, and the men, you, me, and the rest of the men watching this video, they will say, oh, she said this, so she must mean it. No, she said this, what she meant was that. The women heard what she said. You did not, because you took it at face value. You didn't dig a little deeper. You didn't read between the lines. You just took it at face value, and that's what she wanted you to do. Let's look at what she has to say here.
So what is my opinion on kissing and physical touch in a Christian relationship? Again, my opinion, so don't be mad at me.
Oh, this should be really good right off the rip. If you have to say that, it's going to be good.
And my opinion is very simple. So many people have different convictions, you know, to each their own. Like, I know people, or I've seen people, that they cannot even kiss, like, a small peg, because that will take them to places that, you know, it opens doors for, like, sin to take place and stuff like that. Like, kissing for them is major temptation, and so they choose not to kiss unless they're married.
Okay, first of all, I gotta stop her. Normally I let the whole thing play, but I gotta stop. This is a teaching moment right here. Gentlemen, let's have a real conversation right quick, okay? I've made this point several times, but I'm gonna make it again, because it's extremely important. The same people, this woman, maybe not her in particular, but I guarantee you it's most likely gonna be true. I know you don't want to accept it. I know you don't like it, but I'm going to tell you, women like this, women like her, I guarantee you, she has not had these rules for Chad. She has not had these rules for the men who are tall, dark, and handsome, who she met at the bar, met at the club, met on a dating app. I can guarantee you, these were nowhere to be found. I can guarantee you, she was willing to bust through all those rules for those men. But when it comes to you, the guy that she wants to be the provider, not the guy to blow and rearrange her guts. No, for you, you got to do these things. She's got to treat you like a trained animal. She's got to train you to be a gump. Because that's the one thing that women have over you as a man is intimacy. As soon as you as a man are no longer fazed by sex, women lose all leverage over you, by the way. And if, for those of you who don't like looking at relationships as a power dynamic, well, I don't know what to tell you, because that's what it is. One person is chasing the other person. That's how it will always work and has always worked. If you don't like it, go write God. I didn't create this. I can merely observe it with my eyes and my ears. Okay? So, right out the gate, when she talks about this whole kissing thing, she's saying this because she knows from experience. Anytime a woman says, oh, I've heard, or my friend, or whatever, no. She's talking about herself. She just wants to avoid the judgment and the accountability and the shaming that's going to come with what she's about to say. Keep that in mind as we continue.
So, and props to them, like, respect, honestly. But, like, to some people, kissing is, like, it doesn't lead them to, like, sin and, like, temptation. It's just a form of love. And
yeah, because they've been desensitized to it because they've done it so much.
One of my forms of love with my boyfriend is physical touch. Like, I love hugging him. I love, you know, giving him kisses and, like, holding hands. Anything like that, like,
oh, right.
We don't
stops
see
there.
It wrong because it doesn't lead us to temptation and to sin. Does that make sense?
Does anybody actually believe that she doesn't do any of this? Does anybody believe this? I might believe it with the current guy, but not with the past guys. I can guarantee you. It is very rare that a guy will leave a girl before he's gotten the one thing he wanted from her, which was physical intimacy. Some men still do, but most men don't. So let's keep that in mind.
Like, I've heard stories of people that cannot even hold hands because they will get tempted to do other things.
You mean they have high testosterone levels? Wow, that's crazy.
And it's like, okay, then if that's your case, then don't hold hands. Don't kiss. But if that's not your case, by all means, like, show your partner that you love them through physical touch, you know? Now, when it comes to this, I can't say the word because my video will get shut down. But when it comes to that, that is saved for marriage, period. Like, no
oh, really?
Further discussion on that. So anyways, to kind of summarize, like, my...
Oh, notice how she dodged the whole conversation, presumably because she knows that once she talks about it, she's going to leak that she's done it before multiple times. And in doing so, people are immediately going to judge her, and she's going to lose all... she's going to lose all ethos entirely. Just so you know, that's why she did it.
My opinion, like, if, for example, kissing is literally so hard for you and leads you to temptation, set that boundary with your boyfriend, with your girlfriend.
Notice she had to frame it. No. You notice she said that? Did you catch that? She said, set that up with your boyfriend. Why? Because it is men who want the physical intimacy. And it is you who is holding that hostage from him to, like a dog, like a man holds a treat for a dog above their heads and they can't tell him. They tell him to sit, tell him to roll over, tell him to pay the bills, tell him to do all these things, right? Now, I'm not saying that she needs to give up the intimacy. She doesn't have to do anything. What I am saying is you best believe she's already done that before. And therein lies the issue, okay? I've said this before. Women who want to be 304s, they want to go down 304 freeway, and they want to go out there and jump on men's Johnsons and do all that stuff. Pause. Then they can do that. But then if they want to come over and merge into the lane of people who are trying to be religious and pure and holy and all that kind of stuff, then we have a problem. We have a problem then, because now you're trying to merge into the fact, you're trying to merge into the our lane, or merge into the lanes of people who actually have moral values, which you have not historically had. And now all of a sudden, not only do you want to merge lanes, you now want to benefit off of a community you have not at all contributed to at all. That's the problem right there. If she was a virgin, which I can guarantee you she is not. Gentlemen, I know there's this natural desire for us to want to assume the best in people, because especially when they look good. Like, I know you don't want to believe this, but the worse the woman looks, usually the higher body count she actually has. Why? Because men tend to like to aim low and hit versus having to shoot high and miss. So, again, there we are in the makeup of the conversation. Makeup is, not something that's very... Makeup was seen as sorcery back in the day, just so you know. But now it's normal. Now you don't think anything of it. But historically, it's been viewed that way. So gentlemen, when I talk about this idea of manipulation, I don't do it because I hold animosity or anger towards these people. No, I'm pretty indifferent to it. I'm not looking to be married, by the way. I'm not looking to be in a relationship right now. I don't really want to. So I'm not mad at these people. It's their life. They could do what they want to do. What I don't like, though, is when people who are immoral for a long time then want to merge into the moral people's communities, and then not only do they want to merge, but then they want to find a guy who's a nice gentleman, kind, nurturing, protective guy. That they now want to benefit off of that guy sacrificing, because if that guy's not going to have the power of post-nut clarity. He's not going to understand that, hey, I really am attracted to this woman and I really want her because I want to get intimate with her. I don't actually, necessarily want to spend the rest of my life with her, but my nature is fooling me in thinking that that's what I actually want, when in fact, as soon as I go out there and I choke the chicken, I'm not going to feel that way most likely anymore. Or at the very least, I'm going to be thinking way more rationally than I was 5 seconds ago. But because we don't teach men to value that power, we don't have that. Now, if we live in a society where there was no-fault divorce wasn't around, when men hit puberty and women hit puberty, they were given mates, which is what they used to do back in the old Jewish communities and in the Old Testament. If we still did that, there'd be no issue. But the problem is, not only do we hold people to a high standard, we now are not giving them an outlet to which they can now aim high and have it actually benefit them. Now, we're wanting people to stay celibate without giving them any sexual outlet at all. And then we wonder why people are going crazy or making bad choices. This is why. It wasn't meant to be like this. But now, because the people are such cowards, the leadership of the church is so cowardly that they'd rather have you take the bait and keep going on a flawed system than actually face the issues we're now in and try to fight the system or advocate for the changes of the laws. They won't do that. Why? Because the women will be upset because the women stand to benefit the most, and they are statistically more likely to be in the church than are the men. Now, let's go to the next thing. Secrets to dating for Christian men. Let's see what this has to say.
If you could build a boyfriend, what would he be like?
Gentleman, definitely.
So not like that guy?
Yeah, definitely not. Likes working out.
How about yourself?
Oh, notice how she put that part second? Because she actually cares about it the most. That's what she cares about more, that he's fit. The gentleman part's a bonus.
Definitely funny. If they can be made fun of, fiancés.
Made fun of? You mean emasculated? Humiliated?
Smart, respectful, outgoing, driven.
Have you guys done...
And driven. Makes money.
Any of these guys at the tennis courts?
No. Unfortunately, no.
All right, let's say he's a 9 out of 10, but he is a strong Christian, so he cares a lot about his relationship with God. Would you still be interested?
Yeah, if it's not forced onto me.
I agree.
What?
If it's not, like, extreme to the point where it affects the relationship.
Wait, what? As in, it doesn't affect the relationship. What? What does that mean? As in, if he actually has too much morals, is that what you mean? Like, he's too good of a Christian guy that he's not edgy and he's not Chad? Oh my goodness. Let's break this down one more time.
If you could build a boyfriend, what would he be like?
First of all, gentlemen, never believe what women tell you about what they're attracted to. Never. Never! It's all a lie. Look at what women say versus what they do, and you'll see a massive discrepancy, because women will not tell you, oh yeah, I want you to be a 6 foot tall Giga Chad with a Ferrari, and if you happen to be a gentleman on top of that, that's great, but I don't need that. She won't tell you that, because then she'll get shamed. She'll get mocked. The women will look at her and be like, girl, how dare you give away our secrets? She's breaking girl code by doing that. I don't care if she's Christian or not Christian. She's not going to tell you what she actually wants, because then she's going to get shamed.
Gentlemen, definitely.
You mean to tell me that you can't find a gentleman out here, really? There are a lot of men who fit that description.
Oh, not like that guy?
Yeah, definitely not. Likes working out.
Oh, in other words, he looks good. Notice how she put that part second. I'd say that again, because that's what they actually want. The gentleman part's like, I could take it or leave it. That would be great, but I don't really care. More than anything, she wants to look good next to him so that her social value can go up.
Watch yourself.
Definitely funny. If they can be made fun of.
Made fun of. Look at that face. That's the face of a woman who secretly doesn't like men very much and likes when she can kind of like mess with guys and like get them in the palm of her hand and then totally destroy them.
Smart, respectful, outgoing, driven.
Driven? Notice how she puts that last. Again, I say that because that means money. Driven equals ambition, which equals cash money. That's what she actually wants. So the girl on the right wants guy wants you to have a six pack, and the girl on the left wants you to have six figures. Okay. You could have just said that, but of course you're not going to say that.
Have you guys done any of these guys at the tennis courts?
No.
Oh no, no fit guys. No. You see, because they're not actually talking. They're leaving out the parts that actually matter. They're leaving out the part about the good Johnson. They're leaving out the part about how he needs to have money, how he needs to have status, how she needs to feel like she likes him, how he needs to make her feel a certain way, all that. They left that part out. Because if they kept that in, then people would be like, oh, you're like a kiddie pool. You can't do anything right, blah, blah, blah. They would get criticized for it. So to avoid the criticism, they say, you know what? I'm just going to, like, lie. That's what they're going to do. Gentlemen, let me ask you a question. Does this at all seem manipulative to you? Am I out of line for saying that this is manipulative, that this is wrong, and that you should look out for this kind of behavior? I don't care if it's Christian or non-Christian, Jewish, Muslim, Buddhist, Hindu, doesn't matter. What matters is that people are not telling you the whole truth. And because of that, they're leading you to make bad choices, bad investments, and then you're going to get blamed for it at the end. Gentlemen, I'm not telling you not getting married. I don't advise it. I don't think it's a good idea. But if you want to do it, you're going to do it. What I would warn you is look and do background checks. Hire a private investigator. Do these things to make sure the woman she pretends to be is actually her. Make sure that you... Let me ask you something. Would you invest in a company if you didn't do a background check, if you didn't care? If you really care about the future of that and it impacted you a lot, you'd look into it, right? Of course you would. But people, because their emotions and their libido gets drawn into this argument, all of a sudden, the logic gets flown out the window and they're willing to just go for it. This is why I don't think that celibacy should be a thing that men are required to do anymore. The reason I say that is not because I want men to be slinging Johnson around town. I say that because back in the day, marriage was enforced. The woman couldn't just bail on you whenever she felt like it. And people who committed adultery were given a dirt nap. These things were enforced. Today, they are not. Today, she can walk away. Not that she's guaranteed to do it, but she can. And statistically, they do. Sorry if you heard that, by the way. But statistically, they do. So then you have to adapt. That's my whole point. My friends, I encourage you to really do your research, because this is a very important decision you're going to make that will impact the rest of your life, especially if you have children with this person, if you're trying to get married or in a long-term relationship, which I wouldn't recommend. But if you want to do it, just be careful with how you do it, because at the end of the day, this will impact you, and you will encounter the things that you see in what we've talked about and what we will continue to talk about as the days, months, and years progress. My friends, take care of yourselves. Do your own research. If you want to be a bachelor and you're not looking to get married, maybe if you're just looking to improve yourself, I wrote a whole book about this, Biblical Bachelor. It's one of the cornerstones of this show. You don't have to buy it. If you want to, you can. It's also available on audiobook, on Audible, and all these other places. If you want to listen to it, it could give you more of an insight as to why certain statements are made on this show and where I come from and where a lot of other men, I think, in this community come from as well. My friends, you take care of yourselves. I'm out of here. Peace.